Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Praise God. John chapter 1 verse 35. John 1 verse 29 and 35. Verse 29. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In verse 35 and 36, again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. Verse 36, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God." Hallelujah. Say, Jesus is the Lamb of God. Amen. Today's message is just on this, that Jesus is the Lamb of God, and the fact that He is the Lamb of God is very, 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 very important. It's not a small thing. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. And when the word says that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, it simply means that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away your sin. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away my sin. He is the Lamb of God who takes away all my sin and makes me worthy to stand in the presence of God. And that's why the Bible says one day John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Next day again John looks at him as Jesus walks and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Because in the Bible, anything when it is repeated twice, you know it's more important. It's doubly important. Anything that you say twice, you know is doubly important. If God says something twice, imagine how important that is. And that's why on one day John says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And the Bible makes it clear. The next day again, John looks at Jesus as he walks and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Amen. And when he's talking to the Israelites about the Lamb of God, what is it? What are they all remembering? The lamb that they take always for sacrifice. The lamb that they take for sacrifice for their sins. And that's why John is saying, "Behold, this is not your lamb. This is not the lamb you bring for your sacrifice. This is the Lamb of God." Amen. When Abraham was sacrificing, was about to sacrifice Isaac, God provided. Abraham said, "The Lord will provide." And when the angel stopped Abraham from sacrificing Isaac, immediately Abraham turned around and he saw there was a ram. There was a ram caught in the thicket, and that's what he sacrificed. God provided his lamb for Abraham to sacrifice. And here is the Lamb of God. Amen. Say, not my lamb, God's lamb. Say, Lamb of God. But turn to Exodus chapter 12. Say, "All my sins are removed by the blood of the Lamb." Amen. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 5 first. All of us know this chapter. It's a Passover chapter. "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb." Verse 5. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats." Praise God. Now you see, when God was first bringing Israel out of Egypt, he tells them that every man shall take a lamb. Each man in the house, every authority, every head of the family, every man shall take a lamb for himself, for his household. And if the household, if this lamb is too big, or if this house is too, number of people is too small for the lamb, even bring your neighbors. He's saying you take a lamb, but if it's not just for yourself, you take for yourself and for your household and for your neighbors. Jesus as the Lamb of God is too big just for yourself. He's not just for yourself. First, he's for you, but he's also for your household. He is a lamb that is enough for your entire household. He is a lamb that is enough for your neighbors. He's not just for one or two people. He's not just for a few. He's so big. In the book of Exodus, God is saying just a lamb may be more than enough for you and your family and your neighbors. But you need a lamb. He didn't say if somebody doesn't want to have a lamb, it's fine. Everybody has to connect to that lamb. Everybody has to connect to that lamb. Everybody needs to have a lamb. Everybody should be there with the lamb. And Jesus said, you take. And look at this. Look at verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Your lamb shall be without blemish. That means each one takes a lamb. Or for a household, they have a lamb, and this lamb should not have any blemish, should be spotless, no defects, no problems, no blind eye, no broken leg. It should be the best lamb without any blemish, no spotless. That's why Jesus is a spotless, sinless Lamb of God. And Jesus told the Israelites while they were coming out of Egypt, your lamb. When he's referring to them, he's saying, your lamb, the lamb each one is connecting to, each one. If four of us were sitting around the lamb, that's my lamb. The Lord is saying, your lamb. Can you look at Jesus and say, he is my lamb? He has to be your personal lamb. He has to be your personal. This is my lamb. This is my lamb. This is my lamb. You should be able to say, like God is telling them, your lamb shall be without blemish. And then you continue to read, God says, you shall take the blood and you shall apply on the lintels and on the post of the door, and you shall stay inside the house. The blood of the lamb. Say the blood of the lamb. The blood of which lamb? Some lamb? Is it some lamb? Which lamb? Your lamb. The blood of your lamb. If it's my lamb, it's no use for you. Means if I have a relationship with this lamb of God, it doesn't help you. He should become your lamb. Yes, he is the lamb of God, but the lamb of God should become your lamb. Your lamb of God. You should have that relationship where you know, because of this lamb, I'm set free. Because of my lamb, Jesus Christ, my life will be saved. I will have a future in heaven because Jesus is my lamb. He's a lamb of God, but he's my lamb now. And because they obeyed the Lord, and because they applied the blood of this lamb on their doorposts, on the top and on the sides, again, what does it? It's a sign of the cross. The cross. Not the sign of the cross we used to put. It's the symbol of the cross. On the top and on the sides of the doorposts. It's symbolic. And it's showing again in the book of Exodus about the cross 1,500 years before Jesus came. Let's just look at that verse. Exodus 12, verse 7. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel. That's on the sides and on the top. Come to verse 22, verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. Verse 22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood, and in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of this of his house until morning. Amen. It's not enough to just have the lamb, but the Lord said, you shall take the blood of that lamb and apply it on the doorposts, two doorposts, and on the lintel. And Moses said, you will apply that blood of the lamb on the door and the on the doorpost and the lintel, and you shall stay inside till morning. Moses told them, put the blood there, and you stay inside till morning. Don't come out. Don't put the blood on the doorpost and then go out. Clear instructions. Say clear instructions. Not do whatever you want. He said, put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintel and stay inside until morning. This Moses is telling it in the night or the previous day, and they are supposed to put the blood and they are supposed to stay till the morning. What is your morning? Which will be your morning? When the Lord comes back, or when we go home, when we enter into heaven, our eternal life, that's our real morning. That's our morning. Otherwise, it could have been the reverse. God could have told them, stay, put the blood in the morning, stay there till night. Every word in the word of God has a meaning and a purpose. There is a morning kept for us. If you compare our lives to what it will be in heaven and our eternal life, what we are living through now is the night season. Is the night. We have our difficulties, we have darkness, we have things that we face that we need to overcome, but there will be a morning when we enter into heaven. That will be the glorious morning. That will be the great morning. That will be the day that we really say good morning. That's the real good morning. Hallelujah. The good morning, that's the real good morning. And the word is telling us in Exodus 12:22, apply the blood on your life, on your families, and please stay inside till your morning comes. Don't apply the blood and then go back into the world and roam in the world and sin in the world and do what the world does. You've applied. I'm sure all of us here have applied the blood of the Lamb to our lives at some time. Now what should we do? Stay inside till the morning comes. Stay inside the blood till your morning comes, because you have the Lamb of God. You have made him your lamb. You applied that blood to yourself. Now stay inside the blood and inside the word, inside the grace of God, inside the ways of God till morning comes, when God will set you free once for all. Hallelujah. How many of you are excited that you have a great morning? There is a great morning kept for us. Hallelujah. You just see the night, but you have a great morning. You have a great morning. You have a great morning. Hallelujah. That day we will really say, good morning. Good morning. Hallelujah. When we meet in heaven, you will say, Pastor, I remember that sermon. Good morning sermon. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But for that, stay inside till the time comes. Amen. There is no place, there is no time to waste outside. You stay inside the blood of Jesus. He cannot just be your neighbor's lamb. You have to have that personal relationship with your lamb. He is your lamb. It's your personal lamb. Jesus is your personal lamb. And nobody else and nothing else can substitute for this Lamb of God. Just to show you how important the Lamb of God is. Like I said last week, sometimes we forget the basics. This is what we stand on. We can talk about blessings. We can talk about freedom. We can talk about spiritual warfare. We can talk about kings, priests. We can talk about so many things. But the foundation is that Jesus is my Lamb. And that's why our focus has to continuously, or we have to be aware of this fact, that he is the Lamb of God to take away my sin. Amen. I can never lose focus of that. He is my Lamb. And the Passover Lamb, when God instituted, or God told the Israelites to take that Lamb and sacrifice, that was symbolic. That was referring to, that was showing Jesus who would die for the sins of Israel. He was telling Israel that now you will take your lamb, but one day will come when I will provide my lamb, my son, as a lamb for the forgiveness of your sins. God provided that lamb for us. But before that, for 1,500 years, they did it every year after year. They did it year after year to remember and expecting the forgiveness of their sins. They repeated this until Jesus came as the Lamb of God. Amen. How important is he as a lamb? Come to the book of Revelation. Jesus as the Lamb of God, and we'll see many other who the Lamb is so important that in the book of Revelation, the biggest reference to Jesus, or the symbol for Jesus, or the most often used word for Jesus in the book of Revelation is the Lamb. The Lamb. And as you read it, you will realize how important it is to God that Jesus is the Lamb. In the book of Revelation, which is revealing to us about the end times and the last days and things in heaven, you will find Jesus referred to not as the Lion, not as King of Kings. Yes, he's referred to as all of this once or twice, but he's not just as a Son of God or as the Lord of Lords or the Word of God. All are references, but the biggest reference or the most often repeated reference is Jesus as the Lamb. Not any other word. He is, I think, 25 times the word Lamb is used in reference to Jesus. That's how important it is. That's how important it is. It's not a small thing. When you come to the last book in the Bible, God could have used any term for Jesus. What term would you use? He could have used Alpha and Omega. Which other symbol could God have used for Jesus? Lion of Judah. He could have repeated 25 times in the book of Revelation, the Lion. Or 50 times he could have said the King of Kings. Because now it's the end. He is the ruler. He is the King. But what you find is that God refers to him as the Lamb. Amen. And as you read the book of Revelation, Exodus 12, John 1, all of it will make more sense to you, because Jesus is the Lamb. Amen. And it starts with chapter 4. See, chapter 4. We read some of the verses last week, the previous week. Rather, it's chapter 5, verse 6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain. Praise God. Chapter 5 verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the lamb who was slain. Worthy is the lamb who was slain. Why is the first reference in the book of Revelation, chapter 5 verse 6 and verse 12, why is it about the lamb that was slain or the lamb that was killed? The whole reason we will be in heaven is because the lamb was killed on our behalf. Amen. That's the whole reason. It's because the lamb of God was slain or killed. That's why we will be in heaven. And that's why it will be nice. Or that's why the word refers, the first reference in the book of Revelation of the lamb is he was as the lamb that was slain. And so we can never belittle or make this truth small, that the reason we are cleansed of our sin is only Jesus. The reason we will be in heaven, the reason we are on the way to heaven, is because Jesus, the Lamb of God, died for me on the cross. The reason I can pray freely before God is because Jesus died for me and shed his blood for me. The reason my sins are forgiven is because Jesus shed his blood, because the Lamb was slain. That's why. Because he is my lamb. That's why I can pray. That's why I have authority. That's why I have victory. That's why I have forgiveness. It's because of the lamb. Amen. Not because of the Lion of Judah, but because of Jesus as the Lamb of God. That means a lamb also. You just keep these things in mind. It shows that he could be the Lion. He could be the King. He could be the Son of God. All that.
But the highest reference is to the fact that he is a lamb, which shows his humility. Because the place of humility that Jesus took is what God exalted the highest. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Lion of Judah. He is everything. But that place he took as the Lamb, as a nobody, as a nothing. Isaiah 53 says, he stood still, silent like a lamb. That place of quietness where he allowed people to mock him and kill him for obedience to God, that was what was exalted the highest. The place in your life where you go really low and you become like a lamb, though you are a lion. How many of you are lions? We know to be lions, or we know to be strong in our nature, or be powerful. But the place that God exalts you is a place of humility, is when you go down, the place where you humble yourself and become and do all that God wants you to do. As a lamb, people laughed at Jesus. As a lamb, people said, why is he not? If he's a son of God, let him come down from the cross. While people were laughing, he chose to be the lamb on the cross. Not a lion. Shut up. I am the son of God. No. Lamb on the cross. Silent and allowing people to torture him because of obedience to God. And that is what God exalted. That's what I see in the book of Revelation. As I read through, it's amazing that God used the lamb as a symbol of God in the book of Revelation. And so many times. Amen. God will exalt you from your place of humility. When you humble yourself before God and man, you don't become weak. Last week I told you, love does not make you weak, it makes you strong. Let me tell you one more thing. Humility does not make you weak, it makes you strong. People may think they can overpower you or they can cheat you, but that's not what humility is. Humility makes you strong. It just makes you do the right thing in a strong way. People may laugh at you, but before God, you're still doing the right thing. People may think you are a failure, but before God, you're still doing the right thing. People may mock you, but you're still doing the right thing before God. Amen. And when you really become humble, no, people cannot really walk over you. You know what is humility. Humility is not wearing rubber slippers, wearing bad clothes, living a poor life. Being poor is being poor. Does not mean all poor people are humble. Some of the poorest people are the proudest. And some of the richest people are the proudest. Let's not misunderstand. Pride is in our hearts, whether rich or poor. It does nothing to do with money or well-being or what we have. It's in our hearts. And whatever our position, humility is to do what God says. Humility is truth. Humility is being loving and simple. Not in the sense the world says, you know, wear orange dress every day or something like that. That's not what it means. Humility is doing the will of God. Amen. Humility is what Jesus did. Going ready to go to the cross in obedience to God. That's humility, and that's where God exalts you. That's where God exalts you. Humility doesn't mean weakness. It's strength of God inside you. Jesus was humble. Like I said last week, Jesus was love, but he was also humble. But still, when he came into the temple, he whipped everyone with a whip. He chased out all those who were using the temple for the wrong purpose. He was strong. He was strong. But he knew inside, if people are laughing, it's because he's obeying God. That's it. That's all. Amen. Revelation 7. Quickly, we'll go through some verses. Just see who the Lamb is. Revelation 7, verse 14. We took it last week. Many verses, but just see what the Bible says. Revelation 7, verse 14. And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Verse 17. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. See, it doesn't say Jesus will shepherd you. It says the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne, he will shepherd you and lead you to the living waters. Amen. Say, the Lamb will shepherd me. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn to chapter 12. We read that also last week, but we'll take it again. Chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. See, it doesn't say, and they overcame him by the blood of Jesus. It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Say the Lamb. Who is this Lamb in Revelation? Chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 12. Who is this Lamb? Jesus, who is this Lamb? He is my Lamb. He is your Lamb. This is that Lamb. Your Lamb. This is that Lamb in heaven who is looking like the Lamb that was slain. This is your Lamb in heaven. Amen. When we get to heaven, I think we will see him as, if you take the book of Revelation, you will see him as the Lamb. Because you will constantly be reminded, you are there because of the Lamb. You're not there because of the Lion of the tribe of Judah or the King of Kings or the Lord of Lords. You are there because Jesus became the Lamb of God. Chapter 12, verse 11 again. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Say, I overcome every sin, every guilt by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. So don't let the devil accuse you. Don't let the devil tell you that you cannot do something. Don't let the devil tell you that he is stronger than you or in some situation he is bigger than you. No, you will overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Do you want to overcome? Yes. Amen. There is nothing that can stop you as long as you're connected to the Lamb and the blood of the Lamb. The devil cannot overcome you. He cannot have a right or power or control over your mind. If you know that Jesus is your Lamb and you depend on that Lamb, you humble yourself like that Lamb, you believe that Lamb and you allow him to rule your life, there is no way the devil can have any rights over your life. Just one verse before we continue in Revelation, Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Some of us need this verse today, this morning. Then the 70 returned and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Say, the demons are subject to me. In the name of Jesus. So the disciples came back after ministry and they said, the first thing they said is, do you know the demons are subject to us? They spoke about other things later. The thing they were most excited about is the fact that demons are subject to us in your name, Jesus. They were surprised. They didn't know the power in the name of Jesus, but they saw it now. They said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And that's what we need to know in our lives, that demons, they can do all the dance around us, but they're subject to us in the name of Jesus. They can try to torment us, but they're subject to us in the name of Jesus. And we overcome them, all the demons and the devil himself, in the name of Jesus and by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Shout hallelujah. Amen. By the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Because the Lamb is the exact opposite of the devil. The devil fell from heaven because of his pride. The Lamb is lifted up in heaven because of his humility. Amen. The devil fell because of his pride, but Jesus, in his humility, became the Lamb. He didn't want the throne of God. He said, I will obey you. I will become a man. The devil wanted to become God. Jesus said, I will become a man in obedience to you. Amen. Shout hallelujah. Amen. Come back to Revelation. We'll just run through some verses quickly. Just see what the Bible says. Chapter 13, verse 8. All who dwell on the earth. Chapter 13, verse 8 of Revelation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb. Whose book is it? Book of life of the Lamb. And this verse says, even those who did not worship him on the earth, one day they are almost forced. They know they have the book, even those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, even they will worship him. Whose book is it? The Lamb's book of life. Chapter 14, verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, a Lamb. Where is this Lamb? Then I looked, and behold, a Lamb. Where is a Lamb standing? On Mount Zion. Now this is back on the earth. And with him 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads. Isn't it amazing? Even when the Lord comes back and he's standing on the on Mount Zion, it's a lamb. Amen. It's a lamb, not the lion, not the King of Kings. He's standing on Mount Zion as the lamb. Verse 4 of chapter 14. These are the ones who are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the lamb wherever he goes. What do? They follow. Do you follow the lamb wherever he goes? Do you follow not world presidents, not kings, not Google? Do you follow the lamb? Amen. Do you follow the lamb? Because the lamb, we read the other verse in chapter 7, the lamb will shepherd us. Amen. A lamb is a shepherd. A shepherd is supposed to lead lambs, but this lamb is our shepherd. Hallelujah. And this lamb, say, I will follow the lamb wherever he goes. And as you follow the lamb, remember, the lamb is a sign of humility. God will lift you up because of your humility, because you're humble. As you follow him, remember that the foundational thing in your life is, along with love, is humility. Humility has to be there. Ask the Lord to teach you humility and to be humble, and knowing that God is everything and you are nothing, and whatever else. There's so much in humility. Ask the Lord to teach you what humility is. Chapter 14, verse 4, they follow the lamb wherever he goes. Amen. Chapter 15, verse 3. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Amen. Shout hallelujah. Which song will they sing? The song of the Lamb. Amen. And they sing the song of Moses. You see, Moses. Do you know what the Bible says about Moses? In Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, he says he was the most meek man on the face of the earth. David wrote so many psalms, but in heaven the song they will sing is the song of Moses. We sing the songs of David, but in heaven they're going to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Moses, the Bible says in Numbers 12, 3, that was the most meek man on the face of the earth. He was so humble that in Numbers 12, he himself wrote that he is the most humble man on the face of the earth. Moses wrote Numbers. He himself wrote it there, that he is the most humble man on the face of the earth. That's humility. Telling you are proud or humble is not the problem. You should know inside, before the face of God, whether you are humble or not. And in the presence of God, Moses knew that he is very humble. May God give us that grace where we know we are humble. Not just saying, I'm so humble. The real humility before God. And that's why in heaven, Revelation 15 verse 3, they're going to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Chapter 17, verse 14. Revelation 17, 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he, that is the Lamb, is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. Amen. All the enemies, kingdom, everyone, all are going to join together. Nations of the earth are going to join together against the Lamb. They're going to war against the Lamb on Mount Zion when he comes back. But who will overcome? Not the lion, but the Lamb. Shout the Lamb. But who is this Lamb? He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. And those who follow him, and those who are with him, what are they called? Chosen and faithful. Say, I am chosen and I am faithful. Say, I am chosen and I am faithful. Chapter 19, verse 8. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Verse 9. Then he said to me, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Marriage supper of the Lamb. Did you see that there? Yes. It's not the marriage of Jesus. It's not the marriage of the King of Kings. It's the marriage of the Lamb. Of course, the Lamb is Jesus. Chapter 21. Do you see how many times the word Lamb is used in the book of Revelation? Did you know it before? Amen.
Chapter 21, verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." Amen. Verse 9 say, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." Chapter 19, verse 9, we read. What is verse 9 of chapter 19? The marriage supper of the Lamb. Now verse 21, chapter 21, verse 9 says, talks about the bride, the Lamb's wife. Whose marriage is it? The Lamb's marriage. Whose supper is it? Marriage supper is it? The Lamb's marriage supper. How many of you are interested? How many of you want to come for this marriage? Marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. How many marriages have you attended in your life? The most exciting time, the time you dress up best. First is for your own marriage, then for other people's marriages. Marriage supper of why? It may be a truth in you, a truth in us that says what we need to really get ready for ultimately is a marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the greatest marriage, the greatest invitation, the greatest party that we will have is a marriage supper of the Lamb. And at that marriage, you will be invited and you yourself will be the bride. The church is the bride. You are the bride at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You are the bride. Don't be jealous. I will also be there. The others also will be there. No jealousy. We will all be the Lamb's bride. Amen. Shout hallelujah. Isn't it interesting? It's not saying Jesus' wife or Jesus' bride or Christ's bride. No, the Lamb. In Ephesians 5, it is Christ and His church, the anointed one and the church. But in Revelation, it's the Lamb and His wife. Not the anointed one. It's not about the anointing. It's about the Lamb. Chapter 21, verse 14. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Whose apostles? Apostles of the Lamb. All through before this, we know they are the apostles of Jesus. Apostles, the disciples of Jesus. But in heaven, it's the apostles of the Lamb. Chapter 21, verse 22. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Who is the temple? The Lamb. There's no temple in heaven. The Lamb, Jesus Himself, is the temple. Verse 23. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. The Lamb is the temple, and the Lamb is the light. Praise God. Chapter 21, verse 27. But there shall be and by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. A river proceeding from the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb. Chapter 22, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. Amen. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Amen. You ran through the book of Revelation. So it's the apostles of the Lamb. It's worthy is the Lamb. It is the Lamb that was slain. It is the marriage supper of the Lamb. It is the bride of the Lamb. It is the throne of the Lamb. It is in the heaven. It's the Lamb before whom, because of whom there will be no curse or no tears, no sadness, because of the Lamb. Amen. And His throne will be in heaven. Now think about it. Can you ignore the Lamb? Amen. Can you ignore the Jesus as the Lamb? Can you ignore Jesus as the Lamb? You read Exodus 12 so many times. Passover lamb. That lamb will be in heaven. Jesus, who is not just anybody's lamb. He is my lamb. He is my lamb. Say, he's my lamb. This lamb depicted in heaven, he's your lamb. He is the lamb who shed his blood so all your sins will be washed.
so that you will have no curse over your life, so that every bondage over your life is broken. This lamb shed his blood, and this lamb is the one we follow. This lamb is the one who is our shepherd. Isn't it wonderful to have the lamb as the one who cleanses us, the one who forgives us, the one who leads us? And today, as we pray now, we will make our decision again to follow this lamb, to be, no matter what sins are there in our life or what curses we feel, the blood of this lamb is enough to help us overcome. When you go home, read through these verses again and refresh yourself to see that he is your lamb. Say, he's my lamb. Let's stand and worship.